Great.
Okay, big read service this evening, summer read I meant to say earlier. I personally love these services, I hope you do too, because we get to immerse ourselves in a particular book of the Bible. And we have, maybe it's really special to you as well, a particularly, I think, wonderful book, which is 1 Peter this evening. So kind of all we read, sing, pray, speak about is going to be 1 Peter-ish. Let's begin with 1 Peter then. So please do take your Bibles. I'm going to read part of chapter 1. And we're going to have some of 1 Peter read this evening. And there'll be opportunities, if you'd like to read as well this evening, then Mike will be here. You'll have an opportunity to come up and read some of it. We'll do some more of that soon. We're not actually going to read the whole of 1 Peter, but quite a lot. So if you do need a Bible, do say, and Len is hovering nicely at the back. Okay, so 1 Peter, we're right near the end, aren't we? You should have said, get to the little 1 John's Revelation, you've gone too far. 1 Peter chapter 1, let's go read verses 1 to 12. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect exiles, scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer griefs in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end results of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and the circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. What a glorious start to an epistle, isn't it? Absolutely wonderful. So 1 Peter again, if you got it open still, that'd be great. We're going to read some bits of it now, and opportunity for people to read. I could read all these bits, but it would be great to have a change of voice. I'm not going to pick on anyone, probably be a bit mean, but I've got 3 sections to read. If anyone would like to, now's your chance. Young people, really good to see you as well. You can come and read if you want to as well, some verses. That would be really encouraging. So we did chapter 1, 1 to 12. I did want to pick up 13 to 23. So who would like to come and read 1 Peter 1, 13 to 23? And if the mic's too low, which it probably will be, you just do that and you'll be fine. Mary, yes.
Right, verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy, because I am holy." Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your life as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, for the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever.
Thank you very much, Mary. Wonderful stuff, isn't it? And we'll skip 2 to 10. You can see as Mary goes on there, there's more instructions beginning of chapter 2 about godly living and growth. And then there's that section here about the living stone, Christ, and the precious cornerstone quotes there from the Old Testament. And a wonderful verse, 2 verse 9, chosen people, royal priesthood, holy nation, God's special possession. Wonderful truths. And then we'll pick it up at 2:11 to 25. Would someone like to read chapter 2, verse 11 to 25? Everyone's pointing. Oh, Samuel, come on up. Let's follow in to give the time. Thank you, Samuel. Okay, so 2:11 to 25. Thanks very much.
Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct amongst the Gentiles honourable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme, or to governors as sent by him, to punish those who do evil, and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honour everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honour the emperor. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin, you are beaten for it, you endure? But if, when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls.
Thank you, Samuel. Thank you very much. So we're up to chapter 3. Nothing loaded in this, but I'm going to skip. Because it's wives, submit to your husbands. Verse 7, husbands, consider wives. Anyway, finally be like-minded. Just pick up 3:8. Can you see that? Finally, as it's quite interesting, this bit, isn't it? It's actually halfway through. Finally, halfway. It's a bit like a sermon sometimes. You know, the preacher says. And our last point, as we come to an end, and then 15 minutes later, they're still going, but Peter, yeah, he says, finally there, that's actually halfway through. Be like-minded, love one, more wonderful instructions, aren't they? This is such a rich letter. And then, the witnessing, there's some choice verses in chapter 3, but I just wanted to finish with reading chapter 4. Would someone else, is there anyone else who'd like to come and read chapter 4, which is 19 verses to us? Yeah, Stephen. Thank you, Stephen. So just the whole of chapter 4, yeah. Thanks very much.
Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourself also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body has finished with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing and detestable idolatry. They are surprised that you do not join in. They are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached, even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to human standards in regard to the body, but live according to God in regards to the spirit. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind, so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power for ever and ever. Amen. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal, or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good.
Thank you, Stephen, very much. And I think I just have to read the last few verses And so chapter 5 is a specific word to elders, under shepherds, because verse 4, the chief shepherd will appear. Then Peter goes into submission, humility, and I'll pick it up from verse 6 of chapter 5 and go to the end. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. That brilliant verse is here in 1 Peter. What a verse so many Christians know and have held to. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who calls you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power for ever and ever. Amen. With the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. She who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends you her greetings. And so does my son Mark. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. 1 Peter. Praise the Lord for it. We'll come back to it in a moment. There's some great verses in 1 Peter, aren't there? 1 verse 7. The proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold. Faith, greater worth than gold. That is wonderful. You've got as well, at the end of verse 12 in chapter 1, even angels long to look into these things. You hear people talk about that, refer to that verse. The mystery of the gospel, the wonder of salvation, now revealed. And 2 verse 12, this is a well-known verse, isn't it? And we would want to remind ourselves of this. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they may accuse you of doing wrong, they see your good deeds. I mean, they just can't help but look at your life and, okay, there's something going on here. And God willingly glorify your Father in heaven, God on the day he visits us, sorry. 2 verse 17, I love it, and Samuel read it so well. Show proper respect to everyone, love the family of believers, fear God, honour the emperor. It's got a real resonance to that verse, isn't it? And 3:15, just picking out some gems, but of course the whole thing is wonderful. But here's a well-known verse. In your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. That's a command, isn't it? Be ready with an answer. Do it with gentleness and respect. 3:18, here again, wonderful verse. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous. What happened on the cross was one off. Once. One final sacrifice. Important theology there, isn't it? 4 verse 8. Above all, love each other deeply. Love covers a multitude of sins. Wonderful. He's picking up Christ's word. John says this as well, doesn't he? Love one another. If you love one another, it's going to be hard to bicker. It's going to be hard to hold grudges. If you love one another deeply, it's going to be impossible. And it is possible because Christ is in the hearts of the believers. What a wonderful encouragement and help that is. Well, a phrase that did the round some years ago was, don't be a stranger. So that was a kind of phrase that people use. You can't say it anymore, you just sound so dated. But Christian, you can say, what Peter said 2,000 years ago, which is basically, do be a stranger, or rather, you are a stranger. Strangers. Because that really could be, is perhaps the theme of 1 Peter, that Christians are strangers in the world. So you've got it in 1 verse 1, exiles. 2 verse 11, again, exiles, foreigners and exiles. 1 verse 17, you have got time as foreigners here, translated strangers. It was interesting, there were a couple of different versions, which is really helpful. I think, Mary, your version was stranger or strangers. 2:11, back to there again, you've got foreigners, strangers, same meaning. It comes up again and again in 1 Peter, this theme, Christian, you are strangers, and don't you know it as well, is we see with the suffering in a moment. But who wants to be a stranger? It's not nice. Nobody wants to be a stranger. We want to fit in. We want to be welcomed. We want to be known by people. We want to know people, don't we? We don't want to be distant. We don't want to be outsiders. But Peter says, Christians, you are. You're strangers in the world. And so really the big theme of 1 Peter is strangers. The big application is live as strangers. Don't blend in. Don't try to blend in. Don't try and be what you're not. Be what you are, who you are in Christ, strangers. And the big assurance, the big driver beneath it all is be as Christ. Look to Jesus who suffered. And this is a really rich letter. I hope you've got a taste of that as we've been reading it and looking at it. And of course it's by Peter. Peter, children, what was his job before he was called by Jesus? Do you remember? Peter was a fisherman. He was a fisherman, wasn't he? He was a fisherman. We don't know how educated he was. Wow. He says in chapter 5, verse 12, I read it to us, he had a bit of help from Silas in writing this letter, which is great. He's writing from Rome. So we see that in 5:13. She who is in Babylon. And that was, at the time, a sort of symbolic way of talking about Rome, expressing something of Rome's pride, luxury, immorality, godlessness. So it's thought 1 Peter was written sort of early 60s AD, shortly before Peter was put to death during the reign of Emperor Nero. And from 1 verse 1, we can see it was to Christians scattered across a wide area of what we know today as Turkey. So you can see the names there in 1 verse 1 and on the map. And so the Christians are there all over, alongside, in amongst the pagan culture around them. Christians are strangers in the world, Peter says, because of our identity. So you've got in verses 1 and 2, you have been, you are God's elect. Verse 2, you've been chosen. You are under the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. It's what makes you different to non-believers. You are to live obedient to Christ. Christians are strangers because we seek to live obedient to Christ in a world where others do not. That makes us different. Strangers, chapter 1 again, verses 3 and 5, because of our inheritance. So our identity, who we are in Christ, and our inheritance. So the new birth we've had means we have a hope that is strange to this world. It is a great hope. He says here, the resurrection of Jesus means we are waiting for an inheritance that is unbelievably better than any inheritance an unbeliever is hoping for. It's not the death of a wealthy relative and all the money that might come. But it's actually because of the death of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus, the inheritance is that heaven is our home. You're strangers because of your identity. You're strangers because of your inheritance. You have a hope the world doesn't have. And you're strangers because of the example and the person you follow. Chapter 1, verse 11. The promised Messiah. And 2, verse 21. I'll read this to us. To this, 2, verse 21, you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Christians are different. Christians follow in Christ's steps. So no wonder they're different from this world. And being strangers means the Christians are sufferers. Suffering strangers. So again, as it was read, and we're looking again, 1 verse 6, there's a number of times in this letter that Peter mentions suffering. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. 4 verse 3, for you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They are surprised. You do not join them in their reckless, wild living. And they just say nice things to you. No, they heap abuse on you. They don't like it that you're different. There's something about you that annoys them. Join us as we go to the boozer and get drunk. Join us in all this godless living. And join us in the gossip. No, I'm going to abstain. They don't like that. They don't like Christ. They're not going to like you. And 4:12-14, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you're blessed, for the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Imagine Peter remembering Christ's word, blessed are they when they persecute you for my sake. When a world doesn't like you and they give you grief because you're a Christian, have an internal punch of the air. You're getting somewhere with Christ. It's a good thing. You're blessed when you're insulted. Suffering persecution for their faith in the Lord Jesus. Suffering because they stood out as followers of Jesus. And Peter writes to encourage them to continue in this difficulty, living distinct lives, to stay strangers by, and it was right at the end, verse 12 of chapter 5, standing fast in the true grace of God. In a culture where the emperor demanded honor, the temptation for the Christians would be to stop living distinct lives, or just to tone it down a bit. Just hide your Christianity from people. Conform to the culture around, join in, just have a laugh with everyone else. And, you know, don't make a scene. It's embarrassing, isn't it? Don't make a fuss. It's tempting to do that. Peter knows that, so the persecution would stop. Don't raise your head at work, just in case, you know, in this day and age, everything's PC. Be so careful. So tempting to blend in. And throughout, therefore, Peter wonderfully weaves examples of God's grace, of their identity, with commands of how to stand fast. So let's look for some pairs for a couple of minutes. We'll play a little game of snap here, children. It's not quite snap, actually, but pairs is better. And there are many of these pairs in the Bible, okay? And 1 Peter has more than its fair share. The posh name for these pairs are indicatives and imperatives. So an indicative is something that's true. An imperative is something to do. Okay, and they're together. This is true, therefore this is what you do, which is really great. So look at 1:14. as obedient children, there's what's true. You are God's children. Okay? Indicative. Do not conform. Imperative. Command. This is what you do. Something true. You're God's children. Something to do. Do not conform. And so often and so helpfully, commands in the New Testament are not just floating. Look out for commands in the New Testament. They're obviously pretty much always rooted in some truth. So 1:15, Leviticus stuff from this morning, quoting chapter 11 of Leviticus, 1:15, he who called you is holy. That's true. So be holy. Do. And in this sense, it's the action of pursuing godliness. At 1:17, get ready for the indicative. Since you call on a father who judges, it's true. God is a judge. Live out your time in reverent fear. There's the do. 4:7. Lots of lovely turning going on. It's great to hear. And it's not going to go on forever if your hands get a bit tired. 4:7. The end is near. True. So be alert. Do. Okay. And you can look out for these all over the Bible and be helped. So they're suffering strangers who are to stand fast in the truth. And if you like to kind of flip another phrase, the phrase, don't talk to strangers. Peter kind of says, as strangers, talk. So I had it earlier, that great verse in 1 Peter, so often quoted, verse 15 of chapter 3, revere Christ as Lord, 15:3, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have. So you're strangers, but you're not to be quiet about Christ. It doesn't seem you're just shouting about him, but you are to be ready to give an answer. And there's so much in here about not just speaking here, but living such holy lives. Don't repay evil. Be great servants. Be wonderful husbands. Be wonderful wives. The world is watching. Love one another deeply, and you will present Christ to people. And as strange as you appear to people, there's going to be something they see that is going to just speak to them, and it will speak to them about Christ. It will show him. And lastly, finally, I'll do a Peter. Or am I really doing a Peter? It's the pairs thing Peter also does in relation to Jesus. And so here's the big driver for them standing as strangers, to stand fast, is to stand fast in Jesus. And it's striking how many times Peter holds the cross before his readers, and he refers to Christ's suffering. Because of Christ, keep going. Because Christ suffered, keep going. So again, the pairs on them, on these, the indicatives and imperatives, 2:21, Christ suffered for you. It's true. Follow in his steps. That's the do. 2:24, he bore our sins in his body on the cross. That is true. So that we might die to sin. There's the do. Now get killing sin in your own lives. Be violent towards sin in your life. And live for righteousness. 4:1, since Christ suffered, it's true, Christ suffered. Arm yourselves with the same attitude. There's the do. And Peter goes to Christ and to Christ's suffering again and again to drive the Christians in their struggles and persecution. Last few verses to read before I ask you just to say one last thing to each other. 1:18-19. Let's just enjoy these verses about our wonderful Saviour. 1:18, you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver and gold that you redeemed. God didn't give some money or, you know, to buy our salvation. No. Not from the empty, way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. 3:18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. 5:1. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. What happened to Christ is happening to you, because like Christ, you are strangers. But actually, sharing in his suffering is cause for great praise. 4:13-16. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you're blessed, for the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal, or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed. Praise God that you bear that name. There is nothing better than a Christian could do than to bear the name of Christ. That is the greatest thing we could do this week, is live for the name of Christ and bear his glorious name. Well, let me pull us together and encourage you to carry on talking together about 1 Peter, 5 ways to live as strangers this coming week. Number 1, live as strangers by daydreaming about heaven. 1 Peter, daydreaming is the wrong word, isn't it? By thoughts of heaven. Better. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection, into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. Makes you a stranger as you go out into the world. But live as strangers by thoughts of heaven. 2, live as strangers by being holy. That is chapter 1, verse 15. Just as he was who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. Back to me as well. Be holy. Let us be holy. Thirdly, live as strangers by declaring God's praises in this coming week. Be a praiser this week. Sing at home. You probably do anyway. If you don't, get in the habit of singing at home. Praise the Lord. It's not just singing we praise, of course, but it's good. 2:9, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. 4th way to live as a stranger this week, by enduring suffering. Read it a moment ago, 4:12. Do not be surprised that the fiery ordeals come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening. Don't be surprised by the headlines again this week. Don't be surprised if you find it hard at work. Don't be surprised if something happens to you because of Christ. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ. And lastly, 5thly, live as strangers by sharing the hope you have. And again, let's be prayerful that this week, 3:15, happens. That we're ready. And that we're prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you for the reason for the hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Let's be prayerful that we will. God in his providence will bring someone in our path this week who needs to hear a verse from the Bible, who needs to meet a Christian, and that Christian might well be you. You may be the only Christian that person meets this week. Let's pray for boldness to take the opportunities.